And now, Don Blackwell.
I invite you to get your Bible and join us for today's study. I want to call your attention today to two passages of Scripture that we're going to call our text. And you might want to keep both of them marked with your finger because we're going to be flipping back and forth between the two. First of all, I want you to turn to John chapter 12, where we're going to read just two verses, verses 42 and 43. The background of these verses is the miraculous work that Jesus had been doing, but the fact is that many of the people who had seen the miracles of Jesus did not believe in him. But then we have an amazing verse of Scripture in verse number 42. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." Now, there's no need for careful explanation of this passage because it's a very straightforward statement. There were those of the chief rulers who believed on Christ, but they did not confess him. And the explanation that is given is they did not want to be put out of the synagogue. And they did not want that to happen because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now put your marker at that place and turn over to Acts chapter 6, where we want to read just one verse, Acts chapter 6 and verse number 7. This was after the beginning of the church, and it has to do with the spread of the gospel, especially in Judea. Now let's read it together. "And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly." Now pay special attention to the end of this verse. The Bible says, "And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." Now, there are some interesting parallels between these two passages of Scripture. The first one I want you to notice with me relates to the people under consideration. Notice that in both passages, we're talking about men who are identified as rulers. In John chapter 12, the chief rulers were not civil rulers, they were religious rulers. They were rulers of the synagogue who had considerable influence in directing the affairs of the synagogue, and so they're called chief rulers. And of course, in Acts chapter 6, the priests who were named there were those who were rulers in the sense that they were influential men. They were priests under the law of Moses. They served in the temple, and so they too were relatively prominent men as far as religion is concerned. And so in these two passages, we have two sets of men who were both important, significant figures in religion. Now, of course, it really doesn't matter whether they were prominent or not. They still would have been people with souls who needed to be saved. But it's interesting that these two groups of people under consideration are people who were leaders as far as spiritual affairs were concerned. But the second thing I want you to notice is that we're talking about many people. In John chapter 12, the Bible says that there were many of them who believed. Now, I don't know how many many is, but it's interesting that this is not some isolated thing that's being reported. And then over in Acts chapter 6, the Bible says that a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And again, I don't know how many a great company is, but we do know that the number is more than just a few. And so we see a second parallel between these two passages. But then both passages also speak of believers. And this is especially remarkable, is that both of these speak of people who believed in Jesus Christ. John 12 very plainly says they believed on him. In Acts chapter 6, the word believed isn't used, but it says that they were obedient to the faith, and that, of course, necessarily implies that they had become believers. And especially, I want to impress this upon your minds, is that we're talking about two sets of believers. In both cases, it states or implies that they were indeed believers. But friends, the parallel ends here. Now, I want you to notice and keep in mind that in both of these groups we have religious leaders. And both of these groups we have a large number of people under consideration. And in both of these groups we are talking about people who were believers. But one of these groups follows through in obedience and the other does not. And from that, we learn a very important lesson. And that lesson is that the difference in faith only and an obedient faith is the difference in being lost and being saved. You know, there is a popular doctrine that's taught in the religious world today. It's commonly taught in your area as well as the rest of the world. And the idea is that man is saved by faith only. And as a matter of fact, it has been so commonly taught that salvation is by faith only that people will act as if they've settled the whole matter by simply saying, a man doesn't have to be baptized because we're saved by faith only. And friends, this is a crucial thing to understand because it happens that many times when members of the Lord's church have discussions with people in the religious world, it will come down to the question of baptism, whether or not a person has to be baptized in water for the remission of their sins. And this truth that is taught so plainly in the Bible is objected to by a great many people. And their only argument is that that can't be true because we're saved by faith only. But the fact of the matter is that the Bible clears up this argument in words that are too clearly stated to be missed. In James chapter 2, three times in that chapter, the writer says that faith without works is dead, verse 17, verse 20, and verse 26. In James 2:26, the Bible says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And the whole issue could be settled with James 2:24, where the Bible says, you see then how by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. And ladies and gentlemen, it's important for us to notice that the only place in the Bible where the phrase faith only can be found is when the Bible says not by faith only. And yet still there are people who object to the commandment of the Lord when he tells us to be baptized, and they say we are saved by faith only. But you know, many people have been so convinced of the faith-only doctrine, they've been told it so many times, that they will argue with and deny clear passages of Scripture. Several years ago, I was involved in a Bible study with an individual who was persuaded of the idea of faith only. And I asked him to read with me Mark 16 and verse 16. The Bible says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that does not believe shall be damned. I was trying to show him that the Lord requires something beyond belief, and that indeed baptism is required for salvation. Jesus said one must believe and be baptized in order to be saved. How does one deal with this very plain passage of Scripture and still hold to the doctrine of faith only? He responded by saying something like this. He said, well, my Bible has a note that says that some of the oldest of the ancient manuscripts omit this verse, and so I don't know that it should be in the Bible in the first place, and so he didn't see the need to deal with it. Well, friends, on the surface, that might sound like a strong objection, but when all the facts be known, it is very weak. There are basically two ancient manuscripts that are held up as omitting this section of Scripture, Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 20. They are the Codex Vaticanus and the Codex Sinaiticus. But these two manuscripts also omit John chapter 7, verses 53 through chapter 8 and verse 11. These two manuscripts do include the Apocrypha, a false section of Scripture, and these two manuscripts frequently disagree with one another. And while it's true that these two manuscripts do omit Mark 16, 9 through 20, nearly all other ancient manuscripts contain this passage, including the Alexandrian, which stands next to the Vatican in its accuracy. Now, I could say a lot more about this, but friends, the point is, these verses do belong in the Bible, and they deny that a man can be saved by faith only. Friends, the place of baptism is too easy to see in the Scriptures for anyone to be justified in missing it. But still, there are individuals who will come back and say, well, I see what it says, but that can't be what it means because we're saved by faith only. But friends, I want you to think about something with me for just a moment. In John chapter 12 and Acts chapter 6, the two passages we're considering today, we have two sets of believers, one who had faith only and one who had an obedient faith. Which one of these two groups of believers would you want to be a part of? Ladies and gentlemen, the difference between faith only and obedient faith is the difference in being lost and being saved. Now, there's another thing that is useful for us to consider, and that is especially that which is stated in John chapter 12 and verse 42. And that is that the Bible says they believed on him, but they did not confess him. And that gives us an opportunity to emphasize what is meant by the good confession. I don't think that it is difficult to get people to say the words that they believe that Jesus is the Christ. And I don't think we're being told that these men could not be persuaded to say these words. You know, one could go out on a busy street and persuade people to say that Jesus is the Christ. You could ask them, do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And many people would say yes. It's not hard to get people to say the words. But there's more to confession in the Bible sense than just saying words. Jesus said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now, don't misunderstand. It is essential to make the confession with the mouth. We have to say the words. But we need to understand that the good confession is supposed to be a pledge of allegiance. It is a declaration of loyalty that I intend to live by for the rest of my life. These men in John 12 had faith, but it was a coward's faith. They believed, but they would not confess him, because to confess Jesus would have meant taking a stand for him, and they weren't willing to do that. And many people today believe what is right, but they don't have a courage. They don't have the courage to take a stand. And so when we look at John 12 and this set of believers, they may have admitted in their private conversations that Jesus is the Christ, but out in the open, they did not have the type of faith that it takes to stand and truly confess him. Dear friend, if you're tuned into the program today, please know that the Bible does teach that we are saved by faith. There's no doubt about that. But not faith only. The Bible emphasizes that. It is not faith only. We must do something. We must obey the Lord if we're going to have salvation.